So now I'll get back to the LSC part of this, State Budget 101. I'd like to introduce our speakers. Wendy Zahn is the Deputy Director at LSC, has worked with me ever since I became director, overseeing our fiscal staff, all the budget analysts and economists. And Melanie Carter is the Assistant Deputy Director for the fiscal staff, and until recently was the leader of our education group, and is now is moving into being the supervisor of the staff and reviewer, the folks who do Medicaid and health care related things. So I will turn it over to, are you first, Wendy? Wendy's first.
Good afternoon. Now, I'm Wendy Zhang, LSC Deputy Director for Budget and Fiscal Analysis. During this section, you're going to hear a two-part presentation. The first part will be a brief overview of the state budget. So without maybe a few colorful charts and numbers, hopefully will make your lunch taste better. So keep in mind that you don't necessarily have to memorize all these numbers and charts in order to make informed budget decisions. In addition to providing nonpartisan bill drafting and legal research services, LSC is also your nonpartisan budget office. Our budget analysts and economists will support your work throughout the process, and we will research any information you may need for your budget deliberations. So the second part of this presentation will center on LSC budget products and services. So our Assistant Deputy Director for Budget and Fiscal Analysis, Melanie Carter, will lead that part of presentation. So now, State Budget 101. State of Ohio has a biennial budget process. In an odd number year, like 2017, the legislature will work on the operating budget. The capital budget is typically enacted during an even number year. By law, the governor must present the operating budget proposal within 4 weeks after a new General Assembly organizes, or by March 15, when there's a new governor. The operating budget cannot have a deficit. The state constitution requires a balanced budget. Traditionally, the governor's budget proposal is introduced in four different bills: the main operating budget bill, the transportation budget bill, the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, BWC, budget bill, and the Ohio Industrial Commission, OIC, budget bill. The main operating budget bill will be the central focus. As you can see from the budget bill timelines from 2 years ago, the transportation, BWC, and OIC budgets were all introduced on February 10th. The transportation budget, the governor signed the transportation budget on April 1st. The transportation budget takes effect 90 days after it is signed into law. To avoid any potential funding disruption for a new fiscal year, which begins on July 1st, the transportation budget is typically enacted by the end of March or early April. Although BWC and OIC budgets did not get signed into law until June 30th, 2 years ago, there weren't many legislative changes. In contrast, both the House and the Senate made extensive revisions to governor's main operating budget proposal, which was introduced on February 11th, passed the House on April 22nd, passed the Senate on June 18th. The differences between the House and the Senate were reconciled in the conference committee. The conference committee report was concurred on June 26th. The governor signed the main operating budget on June 30th with several line item vetoes. There's a good reason why the main operating budget was the central focus. State spending totaled $67.4 billion in fiscal year 2016. The main operating budget accounted for almost 92% of the total at $62 billion. The transportation budget accounted for 6% at $4 billion. The capital budget accounted for 1.7% at $1.1 billion. The BWC and OIC budgets accounted for the remainder, 0.5% and $300-plus million. Operating spending by fund group. Government accounting records take the form of a collection of funds, each fund having a distinct purpose. Funds with similar purposes are further organized into fund groups for reporting purpose. Fund accounting emphasizes accountability, that is, how the monies are spent. The General Revenue Fund, or the GRF, will be mentioned often during the budget process. The GRF is the largest single fund group. In fiscal year 16, the GRF accounted for 50.6% of the total state operating budget at $33.6 billion. The GRF is also the least restrictive fund group. It supports a variety of programs, including many legislative budget initiatives. All GRF appropriations are made in the main operating budget bill. So what are the revenue sources for the GRF then? The largest revenue source is state taxes. In fiscal year 2016, GRF taxes totaled $21.8 billion, which accounted for 64.3% of the total GRF revenue. The two largest taxes are sales and use tax, which accounted for 30.5% of total revenue at $10.3 billion, and the personal income tax accounted for 23% at $7.8 billion, and all other taxes accounted for 10.8% at $3.7 billion. In fiscal year 2014, sales and use tax receipts exceeded personal income tax receipts for the first time since fiscal year 1984. So during that period, between that 1984 all the way through 2013, personal income taxes was the largest tax. So second largest revenue source for the GRF is federal grants, which are federal reimbursement for Medicaid and certain other human services programs. In fiscal year 2016, federal grant accounted for 34.3% of a total GRF revenue at $11.6 billion. As we all know, tax revenue growth is influenced by the economy. This chart shows the GRF tax receipts over the past two decades. In the early 2000s, due to the economic slowdown, tax revenue grew very slow, including the 1.1% decrease in fiscal year 2002. However, the effect of the Great Recession on tax revenue was much more profound. Tax revenue experienced a small decreases of 0.5% in fiscal year 2007 and another 0.3% decrease in fiscal year 2008. It then plunged by 12% in fiscal year 2009 and by another 5% in fiscal year 2010. GRF tax revenue did not recover to its pre-recession high of fiscal year 2006 level of $19.6 billion until fiscal year 2013. The decrease, the 4.2% decrease from fiscal year 13 to fiscal year 14, however, that was entirely due to tax policy change, meaning the across-the-board income tax cut for tax year 2013. While we have enjoying healthy growth in GRF tax receipt in the last few years, growth has slowed down. In fiscal year 2016, GRF tax receipts did not meet their target and came in about 1% or $216 million below estimate. For the first 4 months of current fiscal year, GRF tax receipts were about $160 million below estimate. Underspending in Medicaid and some other programs helped balance the GRF budget in fiscal year 2016. A similar scenario is likely to happen for current fiscal year. However, the tax revenue performance will be a concern in the next biennium budget. So, where do the monies go? They go to K-12 education and Medicaid. Medicaid is a joint federal and state program. Federal reimbursements for Medicaid expenditures made with state GRF dollars are deposited back into the GRF to help support the appropriation. Spending from state and federal GRF appropriations totaled $33.6 billion in fiscal year 2016. Medicaid accounted for 50.6% of the total at $17 billion. K-12 education accounted for 27.1% at $9.1 billion. If we remove the federal dollars from the GRF, the state-sourced GRF spending totaled $21.9 billion in fiscal year 2016. K-12 education became the largest spending area at 41.6% as all GRF appropriations for K-12 education came from state sources. The state-sourced GRF Medicaid expenditures of $5.3 billion became the second largest spending area of the state budget. So depending on the which base you're looking at, K-12 education and Medicaid are either number one or number two largest spending area of the state budget. How do we spend Medicaid dollars? Medicaid is a health insurance program. It currently covers about 3 million Ohioans. Medicaid dollars do not go directly to its recipients. Instead, they are used to pay for services provided by doctors, hospitals, managed care companies, pharmaceutical companies, nursing homes, and some other medical service providers. Medicaid is mainly funded by the GRF, but it also received funding from several non-GRF funds. In fiscal year 2016, Medicaid expenditures across all funds totaled $25.3 billion, including $17 billion from the GRF and $8.3 billion from non-GRF. The overall federal share is just under 70%. Medicaid recipients can be classified into two broad groups, the aged, blind, or disabled, the ABD population, and all the covered families and children, the CFC population. The majority of Medicaid dollars are used to serve the ABD population. As shown in this chart, ABD accounted for 17% of total caseload, but 61% of total cost in fiscal year 2014. The cost of long-term care is one of the main reasons for higher expenses of ABD population. The monthly cost for an ABD member is often 6 or 7 times higher than that for a CFC member. Nearly 700,000 Ohioans became eligible for Medicaid through the Federal Affordable Care Act. Expenditures for this group totaled $3.8 billion in fiscal year 16. Under the ACA, the federal government pays 100% of the cost for this group through calendar year 2016 and will pay 95% in calendar year 2017, 94% in 2018, and 93% in 2019, and then 90% in 2020 and thereafter. How do we spend education dollars? Department of Education spending just over $12 billion across all funds in fiscal year 2016. Of the total, 64.1% was distributed as school foundation aid, which is the largest source of state funding for school operations. School foundation aid is distributed based on a statutory formula that takes into account a school district's property wealth, student enrollment, and a variety of other factors with a goal of providing a higher per pupil state aid for lower wealth school districts. Typically, the school funding formula is revised extensively every 2 years in the state main operating budget. How much do we spend on the state government itself? How big is the state government? This chart looks at the state operating budget by the standard government accounting expenses category. State payroll totaled $4.4 billion in fiscal year 2016, which accounted for 6.6% of the state operating budget. State government also spent $1.5 billion, or 2.3% of total, to purchase various services, and another $1.8 billion, or 2.8%, on supplies, maintenance, and equipment. These three categories are commonly referred to government operating expenses, which total $7.7 billion, or 11.9% of the total budget. The remainder, over 85% of the state budget, went to entities other than the state government itself. The state employee headcount has been declining. Over the last two decades, the state employee headcount peaked in December 1997 at about 68,200. In December 2015, state employee headcount was about 51,800, or 24% lower than the December 1997 number. In October 2016, the state employee headcount was 52,200. So last two charts, we're going to take a quick look at the local government LGF and public library, or PLF, distributions. LGF and PLF are the two largest parts of state unrestricted monies the state share with local entities. Local government fund distribution peaked at $798.2 million in fiscal year 2001. Then distributions were reduced and then frozen at about $757 million per year from fiscal year 2003 through fiscal year 2007. From January 2008 through July 2011, LGF received 3.68% of state tax revenues. Distributions were reduced in fiscal year 12 and fiscal 2013. Beginning in fiscal 2014, LGF receives 1.66% of total tax revenue. The trend for public library fund distribution is the same as that for the LGF. PLF distributions also peaked in fiscal 2001 at $497.6 million. Distributions were frozen at about $458 million from fiscal 2003 through fiscal year 2007. PLF also received 3.68% of total GRF tax revenue from January 2008 through July 2011. Distributions were also reduced in fiscal 2012 and 13, although the reductions to PLF were smaller compared to that to LGF. Beginning in fiscal 2014, PLF also received 1.66% of total GRF tax revenue. The current budget bill, House Bill 64, increased the public library's funds share the state tax revenue to 1.7%, but for fiscal year 2016 and fiscal year 2017 only. So this will conclude the very broad overview of state budget. Now Melanie will talk to you about LSC budget products and services.
Okay, this hopefully will be a lot less complicated because we're just going to be talking about the things that we provide to you. If anyone wants to get dessert, please stand up and get dessert. Let's see. So I'm going to go through the products and services provided by LSC as the operating appropriations bills are going through the legislative process. So generally, I'm going to try to follow the timeline of that process that Wendy had already gone over. And then at the end, I'll mention some other budget-related resources that are provided by LSC. So the LSC Budget and Fiscal Analysis Division has a staff of about 30 budget analysts and economists. Every state program and state agency is covered by at least one of those LSC budget analysts or economists. The first product that we produce for the budget are baseline forecasts. As Wendy said, since the operating budget has to be balanced, you have to have some idea of what your revenues and expenditures are going to be over the biennium. So LSC does independent forecasts of the GRF revenues, and the baseline, what we mean by that, is based on current law, not any new policies that the governor or the legislature might want to introduce. These forecasts are presented to the House Finance and Senate Finance Committees and also updated and presented to Conference Committee. This is just an example of a page from the forecasts. This is for personal income tax, so generally we'll have a chart showing you some past years of data and then what our forecasts, and then we'll have some explanation of how we got to that forecast. The next product is kind of a broad, high-level view of the budget. It's called the Budget in Brief. This is a booklet-style publication. And the first page will show some charts showing sources and uses of the GRF. And the two middle pages show some program highlights. And then the last page gives a GRF appropriation summary by agency. So we produce this four times. For the introduced version of the bill, the House passed, the Senate passed, and then the final enacted version. This is an example of the front page that shows the GRF sources and uses. And here's a page of one of the pages for the appropriation or program highlights. So to start out, you might want to look at this to get a broad overview of what actually is in the main operating appropriations budget. For a more detailed analysis, we produce red books. These are our detailed analyses of the executive budget proposal. They're issued for each state agency, and they're issued according to the schedule where the state agencies are heard in the subcommittee. So when the state agencies come in for that hearing, we try to have a red book available a couple of days in advance for that. Also for the committees, we have at least one budget analyst or economist that's assigned to each subcommittee that's a liaison between the committee members and LSC. These are a couple pages from a red book as an example. They start out with an agency overview. So just to give you an idea of what the agency does, what its responsibilities are, that would be a good place to look first. And there's also an overview of the appropriation proposed and recommended by the governor. And then finally, there's a detailed analysis of each line item appropriation that the governor recommends. So we give you some history about how that line item has been used in the past and what the governor's recommendations are for the appropriations for the new biennium. Along with that, we have the catalog of budget line items. So this provides specific line item information, including a spending history. And for the coming biennium, there would be appropriation data, the revenue source that funds the line item, the legal authority for it, and the line item's purpose. So we include this with each red book. It's an attachment to each red book, the COBLE for each agency. This is also something that we publish separately, and we publish it every fall. So we recently just published an updated COBLE. Here's a page from the COBLE. So you see each line item has a little chart showing its history, spending, and then the information down below. Okay, also, we have a bill analysis, and I know that you heard from, I think, Megan Comiskey and Julie Rischel this morning about LSC services for bills and bill documents. So the bill analysis for the budget bill details the bill's permanent law changes and any temporary law that's not related specifically to appropriations. So it's the same as what's produced for all bills that receive a first hearing. One suggestion is to maybe look at the table of contents. This is a really big document, but the table of contents can be a helpful overview of permanent law. It's organized by agency. And this, like the budget in brief, is produced four times for the introduced, House passed, Senate passed, and enacted versions. Here is an example table from the table of contents. So you see it is pretty detailed, all the subject headings. So it's one way where to look, you know, what's going on in the budget, and you can get some really detailed information. This is an example of a page within the analysis. Generally, each agency would start with bullets that kind of briefly describe the information, and there would be a detailed description after that. Now, as the budget starts to move along in the process, there are a couple documents that we produce for each version. The first is the budget in detail, which we generally just call the spreadsheet. This is all the numbers. So it summarizes total GRF and all funds appropriations by agency. It also details those line item appropriations for each agency. And it tracks the changes as the bill moves through the legislative process. For the as introduced bill, we do include the budget in detail with the red books as an attachment along with COBLE. The entire document is also available on our website in both a PDF or an Excel version if you want to download the numbers and work with them yourself. And as I said, it's updated for every bill version. Here's a page from the budget in detail. That this one is comparing the House to the Senate. So you could see if you're going into conference committee, you can see the changes that the Senate made after the House passed it. A companion document to the spreadsheet is the comparison document, which we also usually call a compare doc. This document provides a brief description of each provision, plus an analysis of the provision's fiscal effect. It tracks language changes, including both the permanent and temporary law provisions. So it compares, again, we're comparing the provisions of the bill as new versions of the bill become public. So as it goes through the process, you'll be able to compare the governor's version to the House, to the Senate. This does not track appropriation changes because that's done in the budget in detail. So they're kind of two things you would use together. Here's an example page from the compare doc. This is after the bill's been passed by the Senate. So you see we have a column for the executive, a column for the House, and a column for the Senate. So you can look through that and see what changes were made. So again, the compare doc and the spreadsheet, they both compare different versions of the bill. The compare doc tracks language changes, including earmarks. The spreadsheet tracks line item appropriation changes. But together, they highlight the legislative budget decisions. And they serve, for the budget bill, they serve as the fiscal note and the comparative synopses that we would normally do for other bills. Another document that we put out that does some comparison are fee changes. This information would all be in the compare doc, but we just kind of put it all in one place for people who are interested in seeing how fees are being changed in the budget. We also, those are kind of some public things that we do. We put them on our website, but we also provide some special analyses. We will provide confidential analysis of the fiscal effect of any legislative policy proposals that you might have. And this isn't, we don't just do this during the budget, we do this at any time. So as a legislator, you can always contact LSC if you're thinking of a policy and you want to know how that's going to affect the state and local government of revenue and expenditures. For our forecasts, the revenue and Medicaid forecast, as I said, we'd start with a baseline forecast that we would publish. But we can also research and do analysis of the impact on that baseline forecast of any proposed policy changes. Some maybe the policy changes proposed by the governor, or any changes proposed by the legislature, or anything that any ideas that you might have, and you want to see how that would impact that forecast. Another special analysis that we do. Has to do with primary and secondary school funding. As Wendy mentioned, that's one of the the large spending areas for the state. We will provide estimates on state expenditures of changes in that school funding formula, excuse me, including an estimate of the distribution of those funds by school district. So we can do this for the governor's proposal, or again, any if you want to make changes to the school funding formula, if that's an area of interest for you, we can generate that kind of estimate. So now that the budget's been introduced and you've read all those documents and you understand everything, then it's time for the legislature to make changes. So the General Assembly will make changes to the governor's budget by adopting amendments and substitute bills. So LSC is your drafting agency, so we'll draft those amendments and bills. For the current main operating budget bill, which is House Bill 64, LSC drafted about 6,000 amendments. To coordinate the amendment requests, we have two budget analysts and two research associates, or attorneys, who are assigned as liaisons to the finance committees of both the House and the Senate. And they are our major coordinators for budget amendment requests. However, as with anything, you can ask anyone at LSC, give a request to anyone at LSC, and we will make sure that it gets to the right person and so your request can be met. But these are our main liaisons. On the top row are the House liaisons. The first two, Shannon and Justin, are budget analysts, and then Alyssa and Erica work for the research and drafting side. And then the bottom four are for our Senate Finance Committee. Again, the two on the left, Joe and Maggie, are budget analysts, and then Jennifer and Nick are research associates. This is just an example of an amendment, what an amendment will look like that we draft. One thing to notice is at the bottom of the amendment, we put a synopsis where we describe just kind of in plain language what the amendment does, because it can be difficult to look at an amendment which just has line item commands and actually understand how it's changing things. So after the whole budget is done and enacted, we do something similar to a red book, but we call these the green books. One for each agency, and we do an analysis then of the final enacted budget. We publish these in the summer, usually 1 to 2 months following the enactment of the main operating budget, and we just focus on what's in the enacted budget. So you can look back at those and remind yourself of what actually got into the bill. So all of our budget documents are available on our website. Which is up there, but also, if you would like to have a paper copy of a large budget document, we don't produce those as a matter of course because they can be several hundred pages. But if you want a copy like that, you can email it's paperdocuments@lsc.ohio.gov and request one, and we will get one to you. So now I'm going to talk about some other budget-related products. Versus the ones that we do during the process for the budget that's in process. We have a few legislative guides to the budget. We have products for understanding the current, the already enacted budgets. We also have some spending and revenue history publications and some publications that do an overview of Ohio's finances, economy, and public sector. And then we also have some detailed information on important topics like school funding and Medicaid. So legislative guides to the budget. A lot of the information that I'm presenting today is available in a little trifold user guide. These are just quick guides to our products and services. Another reference, a good reference, you've probably all received a guidebook for Ohio legislators. There's a chapter in that on the Ohio budget process. It's chapter 8. That is a good guide for you for the budget process. And then there's a 2-page summary of the legal framework upon which Ohio's budget is based. It's called Legal Foundations of the Budget. This is an example of the budget document user guide. And here's a page from the legal foundations of the budget. So for understanding the current budget, so House Bill 64, for example, you can look at the budget in brief for the enacted version of House Bill 64. That would give you this wide overview of GRF spending and revenues and also the major highlights. You can also look at the green books if you want a more detailed description of the agency, each agency's budget. The COBLE, as I mentioned, we just updated it this fall, so it'll show actual spending from fiscal year 2012 to fiscal year 2016, and it has adjusted appropriations for this fiscal year 2017. Budget Footnotes is a monthly publication that we put out that tracks the GRF revenues and expenditures, and we compare them to what the estimates were when OBM made their original monthly estimates of how revenues and spending would go. So you can see, if you would look at that publication, you can see how revenues this fiscal year are below estimate and how expenditures are also. We also have articles in there called issue updates that talk about the current budget implementation. So if there was a program, maybe a grant program, or the legislature mandated a report, we would write a little article about that when that happens during the biennium. And then finally, we have an article about the economy, tracking the economy, the national economy, and the economy in Ohio. Finally, there we have a state agency fee report, which lists the current fees charged by state agencies. This is a page from Budget Footnotes. So the first page highlights those expenditures and revenues. Okay, so if you really want some history, spending and revenue history, we do have some tables that go back to 1975. The first two, the table 1 and table 1A, are presenting revenue data, often by source, and this is primarily for the GRF. Tables 2 and 3 present expenditure data, also for the GRF. And table 4, which only goes back to 2008, has all funds Medicaid expenditures. We also produce a state spending by county report. We do this annually. Again, we just updated it recently. And this report shows you the state subsidy payments and capital expenditures by county. Unfortunately, we can't tell you what the spending was in your legislative district. The county is the smallest we can get, but it should give you some idea. This is a page from Table 1, the revenue page. So you see we have all the major revenue sources there, and their amounts are from 1975. Table 2 is the expenditures by program category. And this is a page from our state spending by county report. This is a map showing the per capita state subsidies and capital spending by county. So for an overview, we have a couple other documents. We have Ohio Facts. This was last updated in the fall of 2016. This is in a booklet form. It has charts and tables covering 100 topics important to Ohio. It has an overview of the Ohio demographics, the economy, natural resources and environment, public finances, K-12 schools, colleges and universities, health and human services, and justice and public safety systems. We also have a new publication that we've just begun producing. They're infographics, they're one-page summaries of various budget-related items. So there's only a few of them now, but we're working on creating more of those. This is a page from the Ohio Facts. So you see it starts with a chart, and then there's bullets kind of explaining some of the data behind that. And this is an example of an infographic. And most of our documents you're probably going to look on online, but these are two documents that I brought hardcover copies because, this is Ohio Facts, so it's just a small booklet, so it might be helpful to have all this information kind of at your fingertips in a small booklet. Similarly, this is an infographic with these two different examples of infographics. So this one page that kind of puts a lot of information if you're interested in that subject. So the detailed information on important topics, we have an explanation of Medicaid. It's an in-depth analysis of the program as it's implemented in Ohio. We generally update that before the new budget process, so you should expect an update for that in January. We also have the school funding complete resource. This is an in-depth analysis of the funding of public schools in Ohio. Again, should be updated in January. And finally, the Occupational Licensing and Regulatory Board report. This annual report details the revenues and expenditures of boards plus the numbers of licenses issued. These, again, are all available on our website. I think I have one example of a page from the school funding complete resource. It goes through all the calculations of the school funding formula. We also have some things about local and federal revenues. So that is all. I know you're kind of running a little late, but I think you're heading over to the State House. I guess if you have any questions for either me or Wendy, you're welcome to ask them. Okay, thank you.